give the time for people to get in here.
They must have heard about you.
Yeah, they tried to avoid it. Oh, yeah. All right. We'll do our regular prayer request, and then we'll get started, because I know you'll enjoy the lesson. I don't think we'll get that far. But anyway, all right. Looks like everyone's in here. Prayer request.
Continue to pray for Tim and the kids' situation, of course.
All right.
Pray for my upcoming surgery that I'm having on the 18th of November to have this knee replacement. And I would ask also if y'all would remember and pray, asking the Lord to touch this back of mine, because I'm almost getting where I can't straighten up.
Okay, I don't can hear you louder. Are you speaking to somebody or to all of us?
Prayer request.
So just if y'all would just remember that. Until I get my back straightened up a little bit.
All right. We'll remember that.
Our family, our daughter and her family are coming to Ohio to see our son up there. So that's a 7.5-hour trip with a 4-year-old.
Lots of fun. Mm-hmm. Lots of fun. All right. Pray for their safety. Good. Lost loved ones.
My uncle's not expected to live out the week. He was a pastor for about 40-plus years, and it's just, he's old, and he's had health problems for decades. So just pray for his family, and God wills, he survives, if not, sure where he's going.
All right, you said old.
He's in his 80s, but he's had some significant... I'm sorry, John. Most people don't have preservative for blood. He's had some significant health problems.
Yeah.
For over 40 years, so we're surprised he made it.
All right. I don't think that's funny, you know. All right. Prayer request? Yes, ma'am. Yes, pray for her. She deals with kids. How old?
8 and 9.
Oh. Yeah, I'm glad that's you. All right, anything else? Junior. All right. We sure will. Anyone else on this side? Okay. All right. All righty. All right, everyone else all set? Pray for those that are traveling, that are away. I know each of us know people that are sick. Pray for those. And Ben. Pray for us, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to be in such a good church this morning, Lord. We do thank you for our preachers and our teachers that are so faithful. And thank you for all that are sitting on these pews this morning, Lord. And you know their needs, Lord. You're always there for us. Lord, we love you so much. And we ask for a good spirit throughout this building this morning. And we just praise and worship you and thank you for all you've done for us, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just pray that today we need to be
what we need to be. Yes. Amen. All right. Last week I started in the book of Zechariah. Book of Zechariah. And I'm going to have to review some because of the people in here, the visitors, which is fine. I asked the question, How many have ever heard a message, a sermon, or a teaching, or have gone through the book of Zechariah? Anybody in here? No, teaching it from the... All right, and that's a shame, because that book is so full of information. The key to the book of Zechariah is the two words. It's goeth forth. That's a key two words in that chapter. And we could outline that chapter this way. It taught the sinner, number one. God's judgment upon the sinner, number two. And we'll be dealing with that and show you how God deals with in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Then we deal with the sin, how God deals with the sin, and then the system that God uses. And as I mentioned last week, chapter 5, as you might expect, number 5 being the number of death, and some people claim it as a number of grace, but we'll use it today as a number of death. How God deals with the sinner, the sin, and the system. Now, I'm going to have to do it. Zechariah chapter 5. In order to get the full context of this, we're going to have to read the chapter again, which is no problem. Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length of it is 20 cubits, and the breadth of it thereof is 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, This is a curse that God that goes forth over the face of the whole earth. So you've got this flying roll, and it's a curse, and it's going over all the earth. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off on this side according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off on that side according to it. So he mentions two sins here, stealing and swearing. And we'll cover those and see what they are. Verse 4, And I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of the of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of the house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof, and the stones thereof. So this roll is going through the whole earth, and those that swear falsely by God, and those that are thieves, it's going to bring judgment upon that house and those people. Verse 5, Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes and see what is that that go forth. And I said, What is it? And he said, This is the ephod that goeth forth. Now, if you've done any reading in the Old Testament, you know what an ephod is. There's a couple of things. It's a measurement, and when it's used as a noun, which it is here, it's a type of a basket. He said, Moreover, this is their resemblance through the earth, and behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephod. So there's a covering on that ephod, on that basket, a covering of lead that's lifted up, and there's a woman in the midst of it. And he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephod, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Then lifted up I mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings. Now here's where people get the false idea that angels have wings. Okay? That's why you see these statues, these paintings, angels with wings. And these are not angels. They're not called angels. They're not mentioned as angels. They are wickedness. For they had wings, and the wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephod between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephod? And he said to me, to build an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Now, if you've done any reading and any studying in the Old Testament about Shinar, you know that's Babylon. Babylon is anti-God. Okay? So this is the chapter, and it's one of the most unusual chapters in the Bible. This brings a dramatic change in the book of Zechariah from what we've read, the first four chapters, now unto here. So what we'll do, we'll bring it up to date now. We've seen the flying roll. It was written on both sides. And according to the measurements, it was 10 cubits by 15 cubits. And when that scroll was opened. Now, a flying roll is a scroll. A scroll is is what they used to write upon when they made documents and whatever. Now, this was written on both sides, and we'll see what it was. And what was written on it was the Hebrew Old Testament commandments that were given to Moses, and we'll see that as we go on. Now, God is trying to show Zechariah, shown to Zechariah and through Zechariah to his people. Now, who are God's people in the Old Testament? It's a Jewish nation, the Jews, Israelites. He's trying to show them the judgment that's going to come forth from God according to the holiness of his habitation. Now, God worked in the temple and in Solomon's temple, and that's how he dealt with the Jews in the tabernacle. So whether it's in the tabernacle under Moses and the law, or under Solomon in the temple, if a man, a Jewish person, hoped to enjoy fellowship with God on earth, it's only going to be, or was only going to be, through the obedience to the word which God wrote in his book. Now, the Jews were fine as long as they were obedient to what the word was that was given to them. God blessed them until they decided to do things their own way. And all that is contrary to what is written in his book will bring God's judgment upon the people. Now, we're going to bring this up to today in a minute and see how it works for us. God was about to weigh the conduct of the wicked in Israel, and He is going to use the balances of the sanctuary. God is a God of balance. He's never one-sided when He's dealing with man. He gives you a command, and what is that command? And this is why I stress and emphasize you need to study God's Word dispensationally. You need to understand how God deals with people at different times throughout history and get that down so that you know how He's dealing with people and why. Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. Here we got going on. God said unto Moses, go into Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go, and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain, and the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is in the children's of Israel. And the Lord anointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. Now, a murrain is an infectious disease. It's a plague for the cattle and for those animals. And the Pharaoh would not listen to God. And so he said, here's what's going to happen to you. And it came to pass. Don't ever doubt the word of God. If God says something in His word, it will come to pass. Now we can look at each of these plagues that God promised, and the judgment went forth from God. You know all the plagues that went through that period of time. Judgment fell. And it wasn't a general judgment upon everybody, the Israelites and the Egyptians. It wasn't universal. It wasn't the whole world. But it fell on the Egyptian idolaters, which God said. And not one of the Israelites that were worshiping God and had faith in God, their cattle was not harmed. But the Egyptians that were idol worshipers and did not obey the word of God, they're the ones that suffered the judgment. And the principle runs throughout the whole Old Testament. You got that principle, you obey God or else you pay the price. Now, look in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 4, 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteousness scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Now, for the New Testament, judgment must begin at the house of God. The house of God is not the building, as you well know. The house of God is you and I that are born again. We make up the house of God, the body of Christ. And judgment must begin with the house of God in this dispensation. Now, it begins an example. Jesus Christ has been crucified by the leaders of Israel. The people say as a whole, and these Jews are paying for it today, his blood be upon us and our children. And they are paying a price, no doubt about it. You look back at what Hitler did to them, and that's nothing compared to what's going to happen to them during the tribulation period. So they made a big mistake when they crucified him and said, let his blood be upon us and our children. And it is. And then long before Titus came in and destroyed Jerusalem, if you know your history, long before that nation was dispersed throughout the world to be tormented all over the world, you know that persecution came upon the Jews. You look back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, you know.
Take that back further. Medieval Europe had the pogroms, massacres of Jews. The Spanish expelled them, executed them under the Inquisition. Anti-Semitism has been a massive movement throughout history, not just in the 20th century.
And it's going to be that way until we get through the White Throne Judgment.
Everybody presumes that Israel ceased to exist when Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70.
Yeah.
The Romans didn't really kick them all out to about 1/3, somewhere along in there.
Yeah. And they're going to survive. There's no way they cannot survive because God is in control of it. that's the same way. If you're born again, if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've been washed in His blood, you've been given the promise of eternal life. There is no way a person that's been born again, trusted in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that person is going to go to hell. Now, I see many, and I seen one yesterday that come across, if you believe in eternal salvation, you're this. And it goes on down the line. Okay, so you're telling me I can lose my salvation? I've been trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work. He washed me in His blood. He forgave my sins. He put my sins in hell, and you're going to say something I can do, can disregard all that and do away with that? Then you might as well go and be a Jehovah Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, whatever else you want to be. But when I read the Word of God and I compare Scripture with Scripture in the New Testament, there is no way a person can lose his salvation because the salvation came from and is from and is of God. I'm going to overrule God. I'm going to do that. When one angel killed, 100,000 people in one night, I'm going to go against God? Are you kidding me? And so we finished trusting in Him, and there is no way. But that does not give us. Now, people go the extreme, so you got to be careful. Well, if I'm saved, I can do what I want. I can. Yes, I can. But you've got to remember Galatians 6:7. You're going to reap what you sow. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap to the flesh. Now, what does that mean? That means I want to appear at the judgment seat of Christ to earn everything that I possibly can so that I can go into the millennium and into eternity as ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I do not want to see my motives going through the judgment seat, the fire, and being burned up. I want crowns to come out at the end, not ashes. So my goal is to live a life according to what I know from the Word of God that will bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ for a selfish reason, so I can get the rewards. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. So, we will reap what we sow. So, what do we find here? We find Ananias and Sapphira laying dead in the church house in Acts chapter 5. Why? Because they lied to God. What did they do? Ananias come in and said, he was all puffed up, proud. I sold my property for whatever it was, $10,000, and I'm giving it all to the Lord. When actually he sold it for $25,000, and he kept back a part. So that's what you did? Yes. Boom. God dropped him dead instantly. His wife come in, said the same thing, dropped her dead, and they lied to God. Example for us. God, chances are, I'll say, God won't drop you dead right away for lying to him. But you will reap what you sow. So be careful. And as a lost person, you could do things and get away with them that today you better not even try as a saved person. There are things you could do in ignorance, things that you could do in blindness, things that you could do in unbelief. And God, the Bible says that God winked at because of your ignorance. But now if you're his child, you better be careful. But now your eyes have been opened and you have been given the Holy Ghost of God to live within you. He comes inside of you. Colossians chapter 2, the soul is cut away from the flesh. The Holy Ghost comes in to live within that new man. So you have the Holy Ghost inside of you to guide your steps and direct your path. You have the Lord Himself to lead you through this life, through His Word. He gives you a guidebook. He gives you a manual to live in this life. He is not going to let you destroy your testimony or defile His testimony, because judgment begins at the house of God. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, 5-8. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastening or chastisement, whereof are all our partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Now, a bastard in the context here is an illegitimate child. Okay, it's not a swear word using it here. Have you ever wondered, you've got lost friends, you know lost people, why they tend to prosper when you may not get away with the same things they get away with? We look at people that, lost people, they go out, get drunk, they don't have accidents that often, most of them. They get home okay, they don't get arrested. But if a saved person ever did that, God would bring judgment upon them in most cases, or else he'd let it build and let it build, and then it comes down all at one time. Psalms 10. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. The psalmist says to the Lord, how come you're standing off? Look at what these people are doing to your people. And then Psalms 10, verse 15 says, break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find some, or till thou find none. God's not concerned about the wicked to speak of. Their day is coming. Their day is coming at the white throne judgment. Now, Jeremiah approached God very carefully, and it's a good example for us. Jeremiah 12:1 says, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Jeremiah says, why? What's going on here? He says, you're righteous, you're holy, but the wicked prosper. Why is that? And Habakkuk says the same thing in Habakkuk 1, 12 and 13. Art thou from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. And, O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art pure, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look upon iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Habakkuk says, I don't understand it. I don't know why. What's going on? And here, let me give you a little something here. God cannot look upon evil, okay? He does not see the evil that's going on. He has watchers, okay? He has eyes going through to and fro in the world because that report back to him, because he cannot look upon evil. Interesting. Where do some of these movies come from? Right out of the Word of God. You know, watchers. Who was that? That was in the Highlanders, those movies and that TV series. They had watchers. So it's interesting when you start seeing what's going on. And then Habakkuk said the same thing in Habakkuk 12 and 13. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, and when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. Now, the time period here is during the tribulation. These are the people that were murdered during the tribulation because they would not worship. They would not take the mark and so forth. They stood up for God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" They wanted to know why. We've been murdered for you, Lord. How long are you going to let them get away with this? And in today's world, we look around and what's going on, and you say, "Lord, how long are you going to let this go on?" And the attitude we should have is, it's going to come. It's coming. Enjoy what you can while you're here, because I'm saved. I know the end result. I read the last chapter. I read the last word in that book. I know what's going to happen. So I'm not going to get upset. What am I going to worry about? I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. I have a home in glory. What else do I need? If I suffer pain, agony in this world, how long is it going to be? I'm going to be with the Lord for all eternity. So, you know, we rejoice at what's happening. Not that we enjoy it, but we rejoice because we know it's coming to an end. And then Psalms 50, we have God speaking here, verses 21 and 22. "These things hast thou done, and I kept silent. Thou thoughtest I was altogether such an one as thyself." You thought I was like you, God says. I'm not. "But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver." So here's God's response to the psalmist. God is saying, "I haven't forgotten. I'm long-suffering. I'm not willing that any should perish." And he doesn't want people to go to hell. He gives them time to repent and get right. And basically what's happening is, as we look out in the world today, you see everything that's going on. Now, we do not... We see kids misbehaving. We do not chastise those kids. That's up to the parents. God is not chastising the lost as yet because they are not His children. If you are not born again, you are not a child of God. You read in Psalms 10 and Psalms 11, Psalms 5, God hates those that commit iniquity. He does not embrace them. He allowed Jesus Christ to come and pay the price for their sin. But if they reject it and they continue in their lost condition, you know, that's their choice. So God, I'm going to stir the pot here. You hear the term that God loves everybody. You compare Scripture with Scripture, and it's not true. God hates those that commit iniquity. He does not love the lost person. That's not His child. And I'll let it go with that, and then just look up Scripture if you have a problem with that. But God will chastise His own, and we'll finish up with this. If I can find it real quick. Anyway, God will chastise you as His child because He loves you. Chastisement is not being mean. It's because He loves you. If you had a parent that chastised you, especially some of us guys. Your father may have had a leather strap that he used when you were disobedient, and he made you dance with that. And that's called a holy dance because it got you to be holy, got you to be righteous with that strap. And so God loves us, and if you're His child, you can expect chastisement when you go against His word and when you're not in obedience to His word. And this is when you know that you're doing what you're not supposed to do. Now, we all know how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to talk, what we're supposed to watch, what we're supposed to listen to. And when we don't, then we're going to reap what we sow. So I'll finish up with this. Make sure that you're right with God in every area of your life. Apply the Word of God to your life so that you fall in line with what the Word of God teaches. And your testimony will not be hurt. God's testimony will not be hurt. And all you'll do is receive the blessings. And the blessings of God are every day. When you stop and look at your life, look at the blessings in your life. And we'll finish up there, knowing that God blesses us daily. Father, I pray that you take what was said and use it for your honor and glory. Draw people and save people closer to you, Lord. Give us a burden to reach the lost, Lord, so that they don't have to spend an eternity in the lake of fire. And Father, again, we thank you for this time, and we give you all praise, honor, and glory in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. Thank you all. Appreciate it.